Everyone, welcome to the timingresearch.com crowd forecast news, episode number 306 for July 26, 2021. We are recording this at 1 p.m. Eastern time. My name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of timingresearch.com. And today you should be seeing the option professor screen. We're going to have his monthly solo market outlook episode. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
Okay, great. Thank you, David. And this is Option Professor. Optionprofessor.com is the website. And a quick background on myself. I'm a graduate of Boston College, and I've been in the investment arena here for decades. And I have conducted hundreds and hundreds of educational seminars on the uses and risks of options, and I've educated thousands upon thousands of people on the uses and risks of options as well. So I have a certain foundation of knowledge here that I'm going to share with you today. This is obviously my opinions and my observation. It is not advice, but I will show you or explain to you what I'm seeing and what I think looks like might be interesting coming up. We got a lot of stuff in the news. We got earnings coming up. We got the Fed meeting on Wednesday. You've got the GDP on Thursday. You got the inflation stuff on Friday. So we're not hurting for things going on this week. And of course, we're getting some news coming out of China, little news coming out of Amazon that are affecting prices as well. We've got a big frost going on in Brazil, which is making coffee go nuts. And so there's nothing dull about the action so far here today. Let's start out because I'm going to cover an awful lot. So again, get ready here. The S&P 500, we are making new highs again today. And basically, you can see from the long-term graph on your screen that we are making new highs. This is a 20-year graph. So it puts into perspective how ridiculously high the market has gotten. But you could have said that all along the way. With regards to the moving averages, the 1, 2, and 3 year are coming in at these numbers here. So you can see there's a lot of real estate between 4,400 and change and 3,800, 3,400, and 3,200. And that's when people think the market is extended. That's what they're kind of talking about. Valuations we know are also very high, but earnings are coming in very well. So, you know, you got offsetting penalties. A gentleman named Ed Hyman of Evercore was on Bloomberg talking about his expectations for earnings. He's higher than the street estimates at 220 for the S&P for Q2, 230 for Q3, and 240 for Q4. So he's looking for strong earnings throughout the year. If you take a 19 PE ratio on that, you get in the 4,200, 44, 4,600, 4,800 area possible, or at least let's call it 44 to 4,600 between now and the end of the year, which really means there's not a tremendous amount of upside left if that's the way it's going to go. With regards to shorter term, you're looking at the 1 year here of it violated the three here, but didn't last very long. So I think if we start closing underneath 4,300, that could be a little bit concerning. RSI is above 50. If you get under 50, that can be a problem. So like I say, when you get these big drops and it gets under 50 and then you get back above 50, that's kind of your buy signal to get back in. So basically, that's what it looks like. Now, one last thing I wanted to talk about is that there is some theory that when interest rates yields on the treasuries peak within 4 months, the stock market peaks. And we're running out of time here because they peaked in March. And obviously, July would be the fourth month. And we've only got 1 week left. So we are monitoring very closely what it does this week, because, again, we'll show you what we're talking about here. And this is something not many people are talking about. So we feel like it's something that could be important since not many people are looking at it. All right. You can see here in October of 2019, this is TLT. This is a proxy of the 20-year bond, right? And when it goes up, that means yields are dropping. When it comes down, that means yields are rising. Right? If you know anything about bonds, you should be understanding that. Okay, so in October, we bottomed out here at 135, right? So what's 4 months after October? October, November, December, January, February. And in February is when we got the big drop, okay? So the bottom line is you are looking at a situation here very similar in that the bond, the TLT bottomed out right around here, which is in March, right? And so basically it has been kind of spiking up a little bit off of these numbers now, kind of like it was around here, right? And obviously, if it blows up again, which we don't expect, but who knows, that would be an indication that people are rushing into treasuries. Now, again, they rushed into treasuries treasuries in October 19, November 19, January 19, and then they ultimately really panicked in during the crash in March, right? But the bottom line is they were running up in advance of that. So here yields peaked, and 4 months later, we'll show you what the stocks did. So again, yields peaked in March. Now they're really dropping. People are wondering why. Well, if the stock market were to roll over in a big way, you'd understand why, right? So the bottom line is, let's look at your S&P again and put that up. And you can see, if I can get the S&P up here one more time. Okay, let's get the S&P up there. S&P. And that will give us what happened there. So we are going to show you, okay, going back to where we just were talking. Remember, interest rates peaked, or yields peaked on the treasuries in between October and February of 2019, right? Okay, here's the stock market, okay? So 4 months after October brought us to end of February and March, and as you can see, that's when the drop happened. So now we saw them peak in March, okay? Well, where were we in March? We were down here in, we were here in the ballpark area of 3,800. That's a heck of an advance, right? While these yields are peaking. And so we're way up here now, not dissimilar to in October, November of 2019, we're at 3,000. It ran all the way up to 3,400 before it rolled over. But that was 4 months after the yields had peaked. So again, we were at 3,800 and the yields peaked in March, right? And now they're starting to really drop. And now we're way up here. So our thesis is this: be careful. If you start seeing it break underneath, you know, 4,300, 42, obviously if it takes out this 4,200, it'd be very dangerous. So keep your eye, you have to have some lines in the sand, right? So 4,300, 4,200 are very good lines in the sand. If they started to break, then maybe something's changing and you might want to act accordingly as far as defensive tactics. Okay. Anyway, looks great today. That's the main thing. And so that's what that's going on. Somebody wanted to look at, we'll get into the commodity sector in a little bit. They wanted to look at setups on some of the stocks. So let's look at what some of the stocks look like going into earnings. We'll go over a few of the fangs because that's the ones everyone's probably looking at. And then I'll get into what I'd like to talk about because this isn't actually it. Okay. With regards to Apple, you are up at 149. So obviously it's right there at the five-year high. Actually, it's not the all-time high. And then let's look at it on a short-term basis and see if anything's telling us anything. Okay. Let's look at a 1 month. Where would you get concerned with Apple on a 1 month? Looks like if it breaks under 146, that would be starting to show some weakness. Where is the relative strength? Relative strength is up to 62. So relative strength looks great. Market looks great. And obviously it looks like it'd like to go to that. 150 was what people were looking for. So obviously we're here. Now, is this going to be sell the fact, you know, buy the rumor, sell the fact? Because the darn thing's come up pretty far in the last, let's look at 6 months. You know, we've come from 124 up to 150. That's a pretty good size move. Now they're ordering 20% more of the iPhones. So they are looking for big sales in the fall. So obviously they are looking for these earnings to really scream. Bottom line is everything looks great, but is this a double top? We're going to find out soon enough. And if it starts breaking under 146, could that be a signal that that is a double top? It could be. If you're looking at a 5 day, is there anything there to keep an eye on for your short-term traders? Again, getting under 149, getting under 148 and change, you know, that might change the tide a little bit as well. So on a short-term basis, looks like 147.50, 148.50 and 149, those are three numbers that you'd want it to stay above. If it started rolling over underneath, that would be your first sign that something's going on the downside, and something might be happening to make it roll over a bit. Again, is this a double top? We don't know that yet. If it takes out 141, that would be more serious because you see that point there, you don't want that taken out. If that gets taken out, then that looks like a double top that might last for a while. So right now it looks great, but obviously you always have to be worried about, you know, if the winds of change will blow, particularly like I say, if you're short-term trading. Looking at Google. Now, again, the Snap earnings and the Twitter earnings got everybody very excited because I guess people are figuring if Twitter and Snap can beat their estimates, you know, these big guys are going to blow them out of the water. But again, Q2 of last year, people were really dependent on tech. And so I don't know if the numbers will be quite what they think, but we'll have to see. It obviously looks like people are bidding it up going into it, right? So is there a disappointment possibility? Of course there is. But right now, this thing looks as strong as oak. Looking at 6 month on Google. Obviously, you know, have they discounted some of it? I mean, it's gone from 2,500 up to 2,800. So, you know, they have discounted some of it. But again, it does look very strong here. And there is no indication of a rollover at all. Again, on a short-term basis, if you're short-term trading, there's your moving averages. Starts getting under what? 2,760, not so great. Under 2,740 and 2,710 on a 1 month. Again, a lot of real estate to fill in here. It's definitely extended. The RSI is at 80. So, I mean, you know, is it set up for a possible sell the fact? It is. But again, with Snap's numbers being so strong, stepping in front of this thing would be a little on the kamikaze side. Let's take a look at Amazon. Now, Amazon, again, doing well, as you know, looking good going into the thing, up $45 here today. Looking at a 6 month, not quite as extended as everything else, but it does look like it wants to go after that high point. Again, that is what you would defend against if you were selling into it. But again, defending it with this kind of a RSI moving up to 70, with this kind of a breakout above 36.50, you know, again, that's a little kamikaze. So bottom line is the momentum on this stuff is up. They've got news reports coming out that people are anticipating are going to be very good. And so if you were going to blow out these highs, this would be the time it would happen. You know, conversely, by the end of the week, if we're not blowing out these highs that these stocks have created and the S&P is rolling over, you know, then there could be more credence that this is kind of a sell the fact type of environment, because Goldman Sachs just came out and announced that they're looking for growth to be substantially slower next year. Well, you know, next year is only 5 months away. So, you know, if you're investing, 5 months is really your target. You're not really, you know, speculating is one thing, but you know, if you're investing, it's probably a situation where, you know, you're starting to look 5 months out. And if Goldman Sachs is correct that we're going to have a slowdown, a significant slowdown, you know, some of these prices are looking pretty rich. So again, looks very strong. You know, there's nothing indicating of a rollover at this point. Even on the shortest term stuff of 1 day, 5 day, you still are looking pretty good unless you start breaking under these points we're looking at here. Okay. So that gives you a little bit of idea on Amazon. Obviously, again, you're on the all-time high. So what is the thing going to look bad? Of course, it looks great. And you're on the all-time high in front of news reports that are anticipating extremely good news. So obviously, what? You got to expect prices are going to be very, very high. Is it set up for a potential sell the fact? It is. But that's a very risky potential right now because there's no evidence of it failing right now. But again, turnaround Tuesday is tomorrow. We'll have to see what that means. Thursday sometimes is turnaround Thursday. So let's see if this market can get through Tuesday tomorrow and Thursday later in the week. If it can cross those two hurdles, then obviously this market is extremely strong, and obviously stepping in front of it is crazy. Okay, so one thing is I was reading a report that some Amazon job posting was hinting, I don't know what that hinting means, but that's what I read, that they may start accepting crypto in some way, shape, or form. Well, you know, if you got our newsletter, we have been telling our subscribers that we believe that GBTC bottomed. And we told them that way before today's rally. So that's one of the reasons people like to subscribe, is to get our views and our opinions on things, because after decades and decades of being in the market, we have a certain amount of product knowledge, right? Okay, so, and I'll explain what's going on here. So this is GBTC, and I'm going to go back here and we're going to look at a five-year graph. And here's how I came up with the idea that the lows were in. You take this number five, right? That's where we started this move from. And you take this move up here to what? About 58, 59, right? The high point here, 58, 22. Now let's round it up to 59. Okay. So you go from 59 and you started at five. So you got a 50 $54 move, right? If you take 61.8% of that, which is a Fibonacci number, you get about $33, $34. So if I take what? 58, 59 bucks, and I take away 34, I get a number of 25. Now, you know what the low is here? 24. You know what the low is next door here? It is 25. Okay, let's get that straight. 24. So you got a double low at 24. 61.8 is 25. That's good enough, you know, for us. And so that's where we came up with we hit the lows, right? Now, again, there are some people who are thinking that Bitcoin could go to 100,000 later in the year. One guy from China was on Bloomberg. He thinks 250. These sound like crazy numbers. But you know, if it goes to those numbers, this thing should benefit quite a bit. Not one for one, but it could go, you know, towards 150, 200, 250, whatever, if it got on that kind of bicycle. So right now, and again, imagine if they come out and say they're accepting Bitcoin or in some way, shape, or form at the one of the biggest retailer in the world, Amazon. And that's pretty. And then, of course, Musk has suspended accepting Bitcoin. But why did he do that? He did that because of the pollution. I mean, you can't be running a renewable company like Tesla and be in bed with what? The biggest polluter out there because they're using coal. In fact, the usage of energy in the mining and the hashing is 30. If they were a nation, is the 31st biggest consumer of energy. But the bigger problem was is that energy was dirty. And obviously, Musk could not just be a hypocrite and be involved in that. So he suspended his taking the Bitcoin. Now they are trying to get to 50% or more renewables. And supposedly, with China shutting down the mining and the mining going to different areas, that may very well happen and is in the process of happening. So he could come back in and start accepting it again. If he came back in and started accepting it again, and Amazon gave some kind of a usage, okay, you know, this stuff might be able to get back on the bicycle. So the way we read the tea leaves is this. You got the lows there, so that's your line in the sand. That's what you're going to defend against, right? And if you get back above what? This blue moving average, which is the longer term average at $37, and then, of course, back above $39, then we could be in a situation where we could get into this area later in the year. And if we take out this area later in the year, you know, then who knows what's going on, okay? So the bottom line is that's our view on the Bitcoin situation. So far, so good. So far, it's been accurate to the penny almost, and that's pretty darn good. So again, if it starts taking out these lows, all bets are off, right? And if it starts going above here and here, it looks like we're going to become more and more correct. So that's the story on the Bitcoin as we see it, in our opinion and our view. And I thought I'd use that as a segue because, again, the report are hinting, like I say, what the heck does that mean, that they could have some eventual use of Bitcoin with Amazon, I thought was very, very interesting. And again, a lot of the energy problem is being resolved. So the ESG people could come back into the picture as well, because the S is for social in ESG. And a lot of people are thinking this would be very beneficial worldwide for all those countries that have lousy currencies, lousy governments, and also charge excessive fees for transferring money. Plus, converting money to every single country you have to go do business with. And especially if you have a lousy currency to convert, it has to be a tough racket, right? So the social good and the worldwide good is very intriguing to the ESG crowd as well. All right. So there you go on that. What else is going on? And let's get into that right now is China, right? So let's look at a couple of Chinese situations. I was talking to somebody earlier today, and my joke of the day was, it looks like they're throwing the baba out with the bathwater. And let's take a look at it and see where that funny comment came from. Baba's been in a downtrend. So unless you've been on another planet, you should have been out of this stock a long time ago. It peaked up here at 320. This is the problem when things are very overbought. When they're very overbought and the news changes, they drop very quickly. And when they drop very quickly, you're kind of caught. And once you're caught, you're in there. And then, of course, the crowd is, oh, I don't want to get out. It's a good company. It's going to go back up. You know it's going to go back up. And then it goes from 260 down to 220. Oh, I can't get out now. It looks like maybe a double low. And forget about that blue line that's pointing straight down. It's a good company. And you know, they're the largest company over there. And so you hang in there. And now you're hanging on to something that's obviously getting in a lot of trouble, because there seems to be, of course, a movement to get all of these extremely rich companies. If you look at the richest guys in China, it's the Tencent guys, it's the Baba crowd, it's all these kind of guys, right? So you've got all this wealth going to all these people. They did these type of structures, which were kind of a little bit off the grid, a little gray, and they acquired hundreds and hundreds of companies. And obviously, they've created these ridiculous monopolies over there. And you know, the Chinese government is into control. They're not into taking the back seat to anything. And so basically, they're coming in and they're saying, forget about this education for profit stuff. We're going to have everybody get their education, and we're not going to, you know, use capitalism to get it. with these the data that's going on, that's being people with the companies, the big data, they got to get that under control, they believe, or else they'll just know everything about everything, and they're uncomfortable with that. So again, this is a problem. And again, could you make a very good case that these are extremely undervalued now? You could make some case of that. But again, the political risk is tremendous. And as it looks on this chart, you are catching a falling knife. Catching falling knives can be very profitable. Here, you were catching a falling knife right here, and it was very profitable. Here, you caught a falling knife, and it was very profitable. Is this going to be profitable? Well, it may. But again, it's one of the more risky tactics. Now, if somebody wanted to gamble and do limited risk options while people are throwing BABA out with the bathwater, that would be something to consider. And what you would do, if options are very cheap, you wouldn't buy a one-month option. What you'd want to do is you want to give it to the seller as hard as you can, which means what? What's the way you really give it to the seller of options? Because, people that are selling out their calls down here, these are desperate people, and they are going to sell their call options out for peanuts, because now going back to 220 looks like a real pipe dream. So the bottom line is, if you were thinking that somewhere between 160 and 180 might be as worse as it gets, you might start looking at some of the longer term options, your 9 month, 12 months, and things like that. And then you might start pricing them out and see what you think. Let's see if I can give you a little bit of an example on that. And this is if you're a believer that this is really a temporary situation, they have got the Olympics coming to their country in February of 2022. Do they want their economy and their stock market in the toilet when everybody comes? Maybe not. So maybe this is what they call cleaning out the garage before a company comes over, right? And if that's the case, then you're looking at some pretty good values here. So let's take a quick look and see what things are going for. And I'm not saying this would be the day to do it, but this would be the day to start pricing, I think. And let's say you go to, you got to figure the Olympics are in February. So if you wanted to encompass that time, you got to figure by January of, let's just go here to March of 2022, they may right this ship. So let's see if that's the situation and get an idea of what some calls go for. This will be expiring on the 18th of March. So it's about a 7-8 month option, whatever. And let's see what they go for now. Because you can see those red numbers. You see this red number 175 call? It's down 31% today. It's lost $15. So obviously some guy who bought it last week on Friday is losing 31% of his money today. And so obviously these are not getting expensive. They're getting cheaper. Now let's take a look at the strike prices. So if you thought that it would go above $200 by next March, it looks like you would be paying about $21-22 or 22% less than it was on Friday. And then if you thought it might really go back up sharply, you would maybe look towards a little further out of the money. And then you would go with maybe the 220 for $1,400, and that's down 25% from where it was. Okay. And that's limited risk. You have the right, but not the obligation to buy 100 shares at that price until it expires. And you can sell it out anytime you'd like. And you have leverage and limited risk. So again, you start pricing these out, and maybe you start saying 235 days means it doesn't have to turn around tomorrow. But again, this thing is in the panic mode now, and that's why the prices are all red. So again, for those of you who are contrarians to what currently is going on, who believes that 190 area or 160 or 180 or whatever is about as bad as it's going to get, then again, and you think that there could be a turn before the Olympics come to their country in February of 2022, then this is when you would start dusting off your calculator and start figuring out what you think might happen in the future. And this is a limited risk, leveraged way of participating in something like that. Again, it is a very tough thing to step in front of right now. But again, like any companies that are way, way down, if they are going to have circumstances change, and of course, this company is probably making plenty of money, but it has such political risk that people people are just dumping it because they have no idea what's going to be happening. Because these are, you know, these are shocking things when you come in and find out the education situation has been changed. So anyway, that's basically the story on the Chinese situation is they're all tanking. And for those of you who like to speculate, looking for limited risk options way out in time and using that Olympic date of February 22, I think might be a reasonable speculation. So take an eye on that and let's see how that pans out. Let's do just a one thing on Baba before I leave. Let's see how the old, we started this run here at the lows of 130 and we went as high as I believe 320. So that gives me 190, 61% of that. Rough math is 115, 320 minus 115 takes me to 205. So they have brought it lower than the Fibonacci sell-off. See, that's what I was kind of holding my hat on because you see it held pretty much around the Fibonacci sell-off. This break today is not good. So getting back above 205 would be something that I would like to see before, you know, it looked like you could even make a case that maybe the tide might be turning. But anyway, that's what it looks like and that's what it is. All right. Let's take a look at some other things, in the commodity sector. Now I was listening to the former CEO of Glencore and he was bringing up the fact that demand for commodities may stay pretty firm and that the supplies may still have a very difficult time in meeting demand. Now, this guy is a lot of industrial metals, you know, your nickel, cobalt, copper, iron, you know, stuff like that. So I was looking at some industrial metal stocks and trying to see if there might be some value there. Now, again, top of the heap would be your copper. So let's look at Freeport-McMoRan, which has had a sell-off. And let's see if it looks like it might be, I don't know what Franklin's up there for. Let me get you Freeport-McMoRan. All right. Yeah, Freeport-McMoRan, you see it broke the blue line, which is not good, but can you see it got right back above it? So again, on my five-year graph, I've got the RSI at 52, which is a great place to take a look at it. And then it's back above 34, which is a great place to stay above. So if it can stay above 34 and start taking out 38 and getting going again, this is a great time to take a look at Freeport-McMoRan. You got your line in the sand either right there at 34, or you can use that low of 31, 36. So you got two lines in the sand if this thing is going to be strong. And then if it starts breaking above here and here and you want it to add, that would be something that might make sense. So Freeport-McMoRan's back on the bicycle as far as I can see. All right, what about Cleveland Cliffs? Cleveland Cliffs. Again, industrial metals again, came back down towards the blue line. So I would say this is a pretty good line in the sand, which comes in at about $17.75, call it $18. But the green line here has held. So right now, I would even say that it should stay above 19. And it's above the blue, red line. So again, if you want to keep it on a short leash, 21 is your number. So there you go. Looks like it's back on the bicycle. And the RSI is at 58 and rising. So that's another good sign. There's Cleveland Cliffs. You want to see how high Cleveland Cliffs used to be to get excited? Well, it used to be a lot higher. So that's why people are taking a shot and a chance on Cleveland Cliffs. Let's go to Vale. That's a Brazilian company. Also got a lot of these metals. Now, the idea is that China is taking stuff out of their strategic reserves, right? They can't do that forever. And after they take them out, they're going to have to reload, right? Now, according to the CEO of Glencore, his opinion was, my opinion seems to be in concert, that a lot of the easy mining has been opened up and done, and now the additional mines that would try to meet this demand is in much more challenging situations in developing countries where their infrastructure is in a rough racket, and also where the political situation is a little bit dodgy. You know, like in Chile, they're trying to jump on these copper guys while they're making money to redistribute the money to other people in the nation. You know, that sometimes is not viewed as a positive for business. So at any rate, here you go on the 20-year graph on, look at a five-year graph. So you can just look at here and you can see this was even stronger, really hardly dipped at all. And now it's back up again. So this thing here has got the RSI at 65. So it's very strong. And again, it's got its moving average coming in at 19 and $20. And And again, the shortest one comes in at around 22. So there's your three support zones. And again, if you look at a really long-term graph in history, this thing has had a situation where it has been substantially higher. So Freeport-McMoRan, Vail, and Cleveland Cliffs would kind of involve those industrial metals. Other commodities that are in the news, there's a frost down there in Brazil. And, you know, if you got our newsletter, we were big on this stuff last year at 100. We were big on this stuff here at 130. We were big on this stuff at about 140. And now look at what happened here to this thing. Okay. So, you know, this is why we use the moving averages. The trend is telling you it's up. You take a shot, you stick with it, you stick with it. It never violated that line. So you stick with it. And then boom, you're up at 207. Now this thing runs $375 a point. So to put in perspective what one contract of this thing on the futures did, from 140 to 207 is a 67 point move. At $375 a point, you're talking about 25 grand or better. So, you know, we're not talking about nickels and dimes on this thing. This is somebody on the long side is making an awful lot of money. The other market that people wanted to take a look at was in the wheat area. Again, the weather has been a rough racket and these grain prices have gone up. Of course, they have pulled back. Let's see how they look technically as far as that's concerned. They've had huge runs though. Again, using the moving average, we were more in the newsletter, we were more talking soybeans, which had a big move. But let's talk wheat because one of the listeners wanted to talk about it. Again, positive. And it did dip under the red line, but it's back above it. RSI right now is 59, so that's not bad. And 636, we'd like it to stay above that. So if it stays above that and there's more problem with the crop, it looks like there could be some more upside. A lot of people don't want to trade futures because they're very risky. Why are they very risky? Because you put margin down and you can hit margin calls. And sometimes they get limit moves and all this kind of stuff. So what they sometimes look at are ETFs or mutual funds that could get them exposure without all that other stuff. So one that we have brought to our subscribers' attention is for coffee, JO. And you'll see JO has been a big winner. There you go. So again, JO is breaking out to the upside and it's something that would have been nice to have been in, as you can see. And we did bring it to subscribers' attentions. The other one in the grain is DBA. That gives you more your wide variety of grains, agriculture, right? And this one as well has also been doing pretty good, but not as well as the coffee, of course. And a third one would be cane, which would be for your sugar. And cane has also been matriculating to the upside as well. You'll see in a second. And there you go. Okay. But some people like a one-stop shop that gives you all of them at one time. And Vanguard does have a commodity mutual fund that we have brought to people's attention. And in the last year, it is up over 53% as of June 30th. And since it's higher than June 30th, then obviously it would be even more than that now. Now, in this particular mutual fund, they give you, as of June 30th, energy was around 34.9%. Grains were 21.9%. Industrial metals were 15%. Precious metals were 15%. Livestock, which is your beef and all that, you realize that if you've been to the store, steak's getting a little pricey. So that's 5.7%. And your softs would include your sugar and your coffee and things like that, 7.4%. So you got a diversified look at it and it's a one-stop shop. And obviously people who've used that vehicle in the last 12 months are not unhappy by any shape or form. So there you go. Another reason why people subscribe to the newsletter, because the newsletter costs peanuts and some of the ideas in there are obviously have value. Okay. All right. What else is going on here? Let's see. Well, let's take a look at the precious metals because we have specific views on those, particularly for traders. We'll look at the actual commodities, then we'll look at some of the ETFs. Gold has a one-year moving average, as you can see here on the long-term graph, that is basically something that must be overcome if we're going to get going. And that comes in at 1827. That's a problem. The other problem is that it the moving average peaked at 1843 and it's at 1827. That means that the 1 year or the 12 SMA is coming down. That's not good. What is good is that the 24 SMA is rising, comes in at 1721 and we're trading above it. The other good thing is that the 36 SMA SMA is at 1577 and rising. So that point right there is where we were suggesting people get positive on it. And then when it ran up here and broke under here, we said that's the time to go to the sideline and reconsider, because this here was against the green line at around 1675. Great place to take a bite. And then basically you got a nice run. But now it's lost altitude to a point where it's either possibly going to come down here and test or blow out that low and come down here. And if that happens, we will be monitoring it closely for our subscribers, and we will be suggesting they take a bite out of it if it can hold the 1577 or even the 1721. But right now it is in limbo. Turning towards silver. Now, what this tells you, if you're a longer term holder, you're still in a bull market. That's what this is telling us, in our opinion, in our view. Okay. So again, long term holder, you know, you're still in a good situation. And, you know, if this thing started busting above to 1900 later in the week, you know, it's the game's on. So, you know, let's put it in perspective here. Silver. And again, yeah, how much printing has gone on? What is it, like 20-30% of all, or I don't know, what is it, 40? Some huge percentage of all dollars ever printed has been done in the last year. Does that sound like an acceleration type of thing for paper currency? Sounds like that to me. All right. So anyway, this thing is trying to hang in there a little bit better than the gold. It's a little stronger. It's got to get above the 1 year here is going to be at around the 12 SMA is at 1263. So it's just a little bit underneath that. It wouldn't take much to get going. Again, if it comes down, you've got the other longer term SMAs at 2160 and 1950 ballpark. So there you go. So could it come down here and scare everybody out and then go back up? Again, it is still looking like it's in a longer term bull situation. And again, there's a lot of real estate above if it gets moving. Last one is platinum. Platinum, 10 times rarer than gold, and it's an industrial metal, and so is silver. Remember, silver is being used in all this electric vehicles. And a lot of the battery stuff. So a lot of demand possibly down the road for the silver. Platinum, catalytic converters, and other stuff. So again, platinum's been hanging in there very nicely. We want it to stay above what? We want it to stay above, I think it was 1060, 1057. So, you know, hanging above these lows is a good thing. And even if it drops, you know, you've got the net right there as far as these moving averages at 970 and 925 ballpark figures. And again, if you took out 1300, a lot of real estate up here. So it does look like its turn, and maybe you're looking at a 1-2-3 formation. The one move took you to 1300, the two move took you down to about 1000, 1050, and now if you take out 1300, that's going to be the strongest one of all. So we think there is potential here, so definitely keep your eyes open, and if you're a subscriber, we'll try to keep you in the loop on exactly what we're seeing. Okay, now again, let's turn it back to stocks before we shut her down here. And everyone's jumping on growth, right? Fang growth, tech, right? NVIDIA this, NVIDIA that. Hey, great. Good companies, big valuations recently, great moves, right? But let's take a look at something that some people think are going to start getting back on the bicycle. And that is your value trade. Now, we did look at, let's look at something right here, because we'll start with energy. Now, they tried to beat up crude. They brought it into the 65 area, boom, right back into the 70s. So I'm going to show you things that we find interesting right now. XLE, big discount. Okay, now let's look at the 5 year on this thing, and we'll see a pretty good looking chart. You see how it came down and held? So we find it very interesting right here, because your RSI is right at 50, which is where it should stop. And the market hit the blue line, which is where it should stop. So we see right here with the 47, let's call it 47 bucks, round numbers, as being a situation where, well, actually, what use the low? The low is 46.30. So 46 bucks, 47 bucks is your lines in the sand underneath. And there's your ad potential. If you break above 51.50, let's call it, and breaking above 52.50 if it starts going. So here we had a pullback, run up, pullback. Now if you take this out here, that's higher high. So it could be a big situation. And your RSI is coming off 50. So I think it's very critical right here. Could be a very, very good buy, or it could be the end of the story. Because if you go way down into here, then all bets are off. Okay, now we also have the OIH, which a lot of people like, which is 200 and some or something like 200 bucks a share. Let's look at the ones that are in there. Schlumberger had a pretty good earnings report, and it's discounted now. So this is fine. We're finding this interesting. Apparently, we're not in the only party. So look, you came down on Schlumberger. You peaked underneath the line. RSI's on 50. Looks like it's time to put the bait away and maybe do some fishing. So there you go. And holding above 27 bucks would certainly be nice. And get getting back above the 30, 32 area would be lovely. So keep an eye on Schlumberger. It looks like it's time to throw out the net. What about Divan Energy? Supposedly they're paying down a lot of debt. And that's not a bad thing. So let's see what that looks like. Again, had a pullback. It's holding the line here, back above the green line. So it's back above 25, which is a good line in the sand. Getting above 28 would be a better line in the sand. And holding $22 would be a very nice thing to do as well. Your RSI coming off 50. Last one in this group is Halliburton, Dick Cheney's old company, before he was shooting people duck hunting or whatever he was doing. All right, so what do you got here? You've got something that needs to get some legs, but you can see it's getting close. So here you go. You'd like to see this thing above $21. You'd like to see it above $22.50. If those two things happen and your RSI gets back above 50, this could be a value too. And if this thing gets above 25, you know, these things have got some upside potential. So keep an eye on that part of the value trade here. And then let's talk about the banks. So we'll look at XLF. That gives you a basket of the banks, right? Rather than trying to pick the right one and you find out you picked the wrong one. And this one, again, also had a pullback, but it's back above the green line here, which is nice. So staying above $35 would be good. Getting above $37 would be even better. And of course, coming up from behind, and you know, this is a pretty good line here. You know, you would have bought this thing at $24, right? And you would have never got out, and you'd be still in the market here, and you certainly made a good run. So it's been a pretty good trend there. So using this as a guideline is not a terrible idea either at about $34, $33.80. So your financials, again, would be part of the value getting back into favor. Your industrials. And again, they pulled back here. I'm using a Vanguard ETF. All these ETFs, you know, you could choose whatever you want. I'm just showing this as example only. And basically, it's back on the bicycle here, but it's having a rough time right up here. So getting above to 97 area would be good. And definitely holding the blue line would be very good. And the blue line comes in at about 186. And staying above the green line, which comes in at 193 ballpark figure. There's your industrials. Okay. Now, some people like a one-stop shop on this too. So you go with a value, mega cap value, and then you get a little taste of all this stuff and basically diversified risk. And there you go. This thing looks like it's trying. Now your RSI came down here, but it's still above, it's actually still above 60. Where are you here? Let's see. Yeah, it's still 60 and it is getting above all the lines. So if this thing can hold, I would say this green line would be a very good line in the sand here. And that comes in at 98 and you are at 100. So it's not a heck of a lot of difference there. And if you start breaking out above this thing here, you might get a pop in the value trade as well. So that's kind of interesting. Some of the other sectors people are keen on would be communications. Just show you the graphs real quick. These are the ones that were paying off big last week. They're doing okay today. There you go on communications. You know, that's your 5Gs and all that kind of stuff. Then you've also got your consumer discretionary. And your consumer discretionary is back on the bicycle. And these are all the ones that were good winners last week. The other one was, healthcare was okay. And again, you know, consumer discretionaries are doing good because these companies are getting higher costs, but they are passing it along with higher prices. I understand that Chipotle may have raised prices. You know, once these guys raise prices, they're not going to cut them. And once wages have been raised, they're not going to cut them. So this inflation is probably going to be sticking a lot further than people think. And these rents, you know, when you hike your rent, the landlord doesn't go, hey, I made a mistake here. Let's go back to the old rent. That's not going to happen either. Okay. So bottom line is on healthcare, it looks pretty good. Again, all this stuff still looks pretty extended. So I think the key here is how do we go home at the end of the week? Is this thing on fire at the end of the week or is it rolling over? And should you be trimming up here? Should you be using married puts? Should you be doing collar positions on your option strategies? Should you be replacing trades by getting out of stock and replacing them with call spreads? These are the decisions you have to make if you think we are rolling over. Okay. Now, again, those of you who are interested, we do have a weekly report that we put out, and it is really peanuts as far as the cost is concerned. If you want to go month to month to month, it's $49. If you're sharp, you're going to say $297 for the year is only $24.75 a month. And that's obviously a no-brainer. there. So again, if you go to optionprofessor.com/subscribe and you go for the annual deal, it breaks down to $24.75 a month, which again is peanuts. And we cover a lot of this stuff every week, but our main goal is to give you a little bit of a portfolio roadmap using the ETFs generally. And then basically it involves income. So we talk about preferreds and we talk about short-term loans and we talk about high yield and we talk about short-term investment grade corporates and we talk about tax freeze. And then of course we talk about dividend paying stocks and we talk about dividend increasing stocks, you know, and that's a lot of different ways for you to go about trying to get income. Another way people like to look at it is to look at the REITs type market. And to give you an example, this is one of them that we follow among others. And this one here is an ETF. And, you know, if you look at it, you know, it's been a very good moneymaker just using the moving average and sticking with it. Okay. So there you go. And then of course we get into growth, which means your value sometimes, like we were very big on value at the end of last year. And that was a big growth area for the 6 months following. Then it slowed down because rates went down. When rates go down, what? It's going to hurt the banks. It's going to hurt these people that need higher rates, right? So obviously that's why we slowed down. Now, with regards to the tech, we told everybody in the newsletter that Amazon and Apple after the first half of the year was only up a couple percent, and that's not going to last. So obviously we were looking for a big move out of Apple, Amazon, and some of the tech sector, and we just got it, right? So we try to give you different ideas on how to try to get growth. Then we go into international. You know, again, we've stayed away now from the emerging markets because, again, China's a big part of that, and there's a big mess going on. The emerging market ETFs are not collapsing by any stretch, but they certainly are not going up. Now, of course, Europe is starting to make a move. So we're into the Europe and the European banks. And then, of course, we are looking at Asia Pacific, which is Japan, Korea, Australia, et cetera. So we do keep an eye on the international picture. Mexico is making a move. We've talked about that. And of course, Brazil is another Latin American country we keep an eye on. So you get into the international situation. And then finally, speculation. So we go over the gold and silver and the Bitcoin, and we go over copper and all kinds of things that people do speculative situations on. We even look at the ARK funds from time to time, which we find obviously innovative and disruptive, but also very volatile and speculative in some respects, right? Because you're dealing with companies that are very what? Sometimes very new in their evolution, and also maybe very expensive based on, you know, maybe they don't have earnings at all. So, but again, this is another one, like just to give you the ARK here, which we find interesting, a big drop down. And it's starting to turn. If we can get this baby above a 125 again, and then it take out the high of 130 and these lines start going, then this disruptive one, innovative one, could be a very good one to own. But you don't want to be buying it up here after it drops. You're trying to see if it's safe to get back on the bicycle. Same thing with the genomic, ARKG. These are the three that we find most interesting, although they're all interesting because they're all innovative and disruptive. But anyway, this is more against the medical situation. And again, it's in big trouble here. But if it can get back above this line that's trying to rise, we would be very interested in it again, because there is a lot of potential here. And finally, the fintech one. You know, there's supposed to be this disruptive fintech world going on, right? Well, if that's really going to materialize, this is the group that probably will be able to catch it. And right now you can see it's had a drop. It's consolidating. But if we start breaking above 55, that would indicate maybe that it wouldn't get back under 50. And so 55 in and 50 is a line in the sand might not be a terrible idea. So again, as we come to the top of the hour, just want to remind you that we are trying to bring good information to you based on our decades of knowledge and experience. And again, we are doing our best to give you information on all those areas. And then of course, we are not advising anybody to do anything. We always tell people, go to your broker, go to your advisor, go to your brokerage firm and figure out what is suitable for you, because there is risk in all investing and it's not right for everybody. And so again, we try to give information, which is what we're doing, and we try to do it to the best of our abilities, which I think we're achieving. So at any rate, for those of you who'd like to join up, just go over to optionprofessor.com/subscribe, either pick up the month to month, or obviously the sharper deal is the annual. And if you have questions, you know, you could email us the questions once you're a subscriber, not a problem. And again, obviously, we've been doing the options for decades, so we have a certain amount of knowledge on that. I'll give you, for instance, before we sign off, somebody I ran into who was trading options on her own decided to sell puts on a stock in the SPAC world, was selling options for 50 cents, puts for 50 cents because they were 10 points out of the money. Bad news on the SPAC thing, not only did she not make the $500 because she had 10 of them or whatever, just as an example, say she had 10 of them, she's trying to make $500, the stock dropped down to where she owed 10 grand because it went $10 in the money past her strike. On top of that, after it was down, you know, she was talking about selling calls. So, you know, that to me tells me there's plenty of people out there buying and selling options who could use a little bit of information. So again, you know, decades of experience, we try to do the best we can. We don't have crystal balls, but you can see we do our homework a little bit to try to help. And again, we're not doing advice. We're just giving information. All right. Optionprofessor.com/subscribe. And hopefully you guys will join up and take advantage of the information we bring to the table. Right now, I'm going to sign off, Option Professor, and I'm going to send it back to David. Thank you all for being here today, and hopefully we'll be talking to you very soon.
All right, lots of good info today. So just a quick reminder for everyone listening, be sure to check out optionprofessor.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast app. And you can also just go straight to timingresearch.com to get access to the recording of this show as soon as I can get it posted, as well as any of the past shows and events. And especially if you haven't seen it yet, check out the archive of last week's favorite indicators events. So we had 20 presenters talk about their favorite indicators for trading, including the Option Professor. And like I said, we had 20 great presenters. So that is permanently available on timingresearch.com, and you can access it at any time if you haven't yet. So, all right. So thanks. Just want to thank the Option Professor of optionprofessor.com again today for his market outlook. Thanks, everyone.